All right, fantastic. Here we are, worldwide live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. I welcome those who have joined in already. It's still 5 minutes before the hour. We have the conference call phone lines open. This is a simulcast, and every time you hear a ding, that is somebody joining in. And if... I believe we had two people come in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Cleo from Connecticut.
Hi, Cleo. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Hello.
I'm great, thanks.
Hello.
Good evening. Who is this?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. It's Wanda from Saskatchewan, but I'm in Alberta.
All right, Wanda. Good evening and welcome to the call. Have a great time in Alberta. And
the cold up there.
Please welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi,
Morgan in California.
This was at the same time. I heard Morgan, and who's the other lady?
Julia.
Morgan and Julia. Hi, Julia.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
How are you, Julia?
I just got out of the hospital. I'm trying to hang in there.
All right. Well, all the best to you, Julia.
Thank you.
And Morgan, how are you doing?
I've been better. Sorry.
Well, I wish you all the best. Hope that things will get better again with you.
Ditto. Thank you.
All right. And welcome to the next caller. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening, Donna, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
And welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Lucy from Orlando.
Lucy?
Oh, no. Stand by.
Sending you sunshine.
All right.
Hello, sunshine.
Oh, the neighborhood is lit up now.
Great tonight.
I just came out from team shift, so I'm
all
kind
right.
of high. Yeah, it was nice.
Great.
Hi, John.
Yeah.
So how's everybody? How's everybody?
Good. How are you doing?
Everybody better pray for my daughter. She's still recovering from knee surgery.
Okay. We'll keep her in mind. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Working.
On that knee surgery?
Yeah. She was a dancer.
Oh. I would suggest you hold your hands like cuddling it, like a sweet little bird.
Oh, yes.
Without touching it. Don't touch it. Just keep it 3 inches away, both your hands, and send her loving energy. As long as you...
It's cutting out.
All right, then welcome the person who just joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn from Pittsburgh.
Hi, Marilyn from Pittsburgh. How are you doing?
Hi, hi.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Hello, Shirley from Alaska.
Meow.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And I'm welcome to the
a horse.
Thank you. Name and location.
Oh, we got somebody who can whisper.
Please welcome you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Celeste from in Sedona.
Hi, Celeste. Good evening to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
All right.
I met a woman once who's a horse psychic.
Oh, yeah. I love people. You know why, don't you? When you got a horse that takes care of you, you don't need anybody else. You got transport. They feed themselves. And they can haul as much of you as they can handle.
Make fertilizer, too.
Oh, yeah, you got a neat garden, and I tell you, it's the way to fly.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. And that's you, Terry. You may stay in the background.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
How are you doing, beloved sister?
Oh, good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for showing up.
Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
The call keeps cutting out tonight.
I don't know.
Because life isn't fair.
That's for sure.
Hello, Wynn. Good evening to you, my friend.
Hey, guys.
Wynn, it's not fair, but it's worth it.
Say that again?
It's not fair, but it is worth it.
That's right.
Right.
I didn't ask.
We have to make our own fairness. Right?
Hard.
That with a little help from the Elohim.
Maybe you have to use your phone. This thing's not working.
Did I hear Dwayne on the line?
Oh, absolutely. You know that. Why the question?
Well, I was trying to get you to speak up. Dwayne, you're sounding nice. What's going on?
I'm sorry, what?
You're sounding nice.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got the wrong number.
That was good.
You didn't get cloned, did you?
Oh, yeah. That happened when I met you.
Did I see Carla come through the door?
Yes, Carla's here in Okotoks.
Hey, Carla from Okotoks.
How's it going?
All right.
Good.
We are ready to start. And the topic tonight is we're all going to talk about what's wrong with Dwayne.
I muted the lines. Too much background noise. So Dwayne can't...
Oh, no, wait. Okay. No, that's not going to be the topic.
Okay, good.
The topic is... Let me start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
All right. This is April 28th, 2014. Wynn and Terry in Sedona and everyone everywhere. And people are wondering, how come they're not getting emails from me? And our email sender company is still on the fritz, okay? And what happened? Wait a second, who's eating potato chips?
Oh, that's me, I'm sorry.
Those are your chips.
Are you
no, I'm unfolding a piece of paper. It just sounds like potato chips. I'll mute myself.
All right. Well, we couldn't send an email out tonight because the email service is not sending. And I called them today. They said it'll be back tomorrow. I've got all these emails piling up in my head. And so if they do get it working tomorrow, look for a bunch of emails coming in. Let me just see if it's... Maybe it's working right now. Dear customers, we're currently experiencing unexpected problems with sending out newsletters at Get Response. We're working around the clock on solving this matter, and we're sorry for any inconvenience. Now, you know, this is a very complicated system. Some of you probably don't even realize it. You just get emails. But I'm still learning how to do this, how to work emails. You know, you have thousands of people. Tens of thousands. How many people? I probably have like 14,000 people who are on this list who all signed up. And, of course, you guys are all on the list. Now, of those 14,000 people, we have what's called campaigns. There's people that like everything we do and want to get every email we send out. And there's other people that get irritated when they get an email and they're saying, do I really want to be on that guy's list or not? So I'm here in the driver's seat saying, how do I work this? So most of the people on the list, I would say, just have a very peripheral understanding of what we do. But then there's a couple thousand that are on this list that have a more profound understanding. And they come into the calls, you guys, you're paying attention. So when I send emails out, I can segment the list. It takes quite a bit of time to figure this out, more time than I have to do it perfectly right. But I can tell, you know, some of you have seen, we have all these subcategories. Get low flow, get nothing for sale. And we're learning as we go. And if you study email marketing, it's a whole art that, if the world lasts long enough, is going to become much easier than it is now. Because it's like a new way of reaching people. But what I've learned, I got on some lists some years ago of people that were doing this, and I learned from them. I watched how they were reaching me. You know, one of the best ways to learn something, when something reaches you, you learn how to reach others in the way you let something reach you. Like, for example, if I buy something, I went to fairs all the time, and I think, do I want this, do I want that? What is it that makes you make the decision to buy something? Well, when I buy something, then I learn how I made the decision to buy it, and that I can kind of extrapolate that other people might buy it because I knew how I liked it. So if I can tell them why I liked it, they might like it. And then you can have a business. It's what makes people make a decision. Because if you want something to happen in the world, and we all want something to happen, and I would say most of us at some level or another, maybe not, but most of us want to engage with another person or other people in some way to make things happen that benefit us and benefit everybody. And what is it that makes things happen? Well, if you study how something reaches you, then you start to learn how it reaches someone else. And you can learn how to duplicate it. So I was on this email, I think it was in 2008, and I was hitting my head against the wall because the stuff we're doing is so far out that I didn't even know how to, if I talked about it to someone, they would think I was nuts. And I didn't have any confidence. 2008, I'm already 6 years into it, and I felt like, I'm not making much of a dent here. I'm supposed to make a dent. You know, when you guys look at it, you say, oh, my God, Wynn's got all these people, whatever. It looks like it happens automatically. But it doesn't. It does not happen automatically. And it's like there is a process where somebody discovers this work, where they kind of intuitively say, there's something there. Then they read the book. And, you know, when I first started, I wasn't giving that book away. I was doing something called Message a Day. Message a Day. And this was because I was getting emails from a guy. Actually, DK was having panic attacks. And I found this booklet where this guy said, get my booklet, it will help you get rid of your panic attacks, guaranteed. And so I bought his booklet. and it was like $25. And it was just an e-book, and it was probably like 75 pages. But I said, I'll try anything. So his name was Terry. No, his name, I forget his name. But I said, we tried using some of the techniques, and it wasn't really working through the roof, but it seemed like it was working a teeny bit. And I said, you know, maybe this is something people would buy. I can see when somebody's involved in panic attacks, there's a lot of urgency there. And I bought it. I talked myself into buying it, and other people would. So I told the guy I wanted to market his book, and I signed up as an affiliate. And then he sent me an email and said, if you want to learn how to market, you should click on this link here to Perry Marshall, because he is the expert on autoresponder marketing. So I clicked on the link, and suddenly I was getting these emails every day. Now, this guy is like a millionaire, Terry Marshall. He is like one of the most respected marketers on the internet, probably in the world. And marketing on the internet is a totally different thing than any other kind of marketing. It's not like advertising in the newspaper. It's not like a billboard. It's different. And it has all these different ways of approaching it. Well, this guy, Perry Marshall, was selling his techniques for succeeding on the internet. But what he started doing was giving me all this free stuff every day. He said, I'm going to send you six emails. And then he would send me six emails. And then if I wanted more, I'd have to sign up again. I'd get another six emails. And then after a while, I'd be getting emails from him all the time. Now, the interesting thing about his approach was, as I was reading his emails, I felt like I knew him. He wasn't just selling to me. He was talking to me. He was talking to me. But he didn't know who I was, but I knew who he was. And I could feel him. And I thought he was a very highly intended guy, really, really wanted to contribute to people. And he just wasn't trying to sell something. And my feeling about that has maintained for all the time that I've been getting his emails. So when I started to experience that from him, I said, what if I could do this in email? What if, even though my stuff is really far out and it's hard to believe that it's happening, what if I could send people emails and they would get to know me and they felt comfortable with me and they would trust me? And then if I talked about far out things, they would go with it because they would get that I didn't have an agenda. I wasn't making it up. And that started out something. I don't usually talk about this particular thing, but some of you have discovered it, where I put together an email sequence of about 150 emails, and I called it Message a Day. And people would go to the web page where the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce was. See, this was another problem I had. I didn't want to just market the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce because that was not in the middle of what I was doing anymore. I was having these experiences, and people would just relate to me as an author, and I wouldn't know how to move it. So what I did was I put a little sign-up sheet on the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce webpage that I had. And I said, sign up here for excerpts from the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and other relevant material. And so people would sign up. And for about 2 weeks, they would get excerpts from the book. And then after 2 weeks, I said, hey, I want to share with you what happened to me while I was writing the book. And then I would start telling people what happened. And I would do excerpts from the Elohim. And then after about 2 months, people would say, wow, thank you for explaining all this to us. It makes some sense. And I got the right email on the right day. And it changed my life. And this happened and that happened. And I didn't have that many people. It was just a small, I would say there were probably 3 or 4 months, we had 200 people, 250 people that were getting these emails. But I started to see the potential that if people could connect with me personally, and if they felt comfortable with me, they would feel comfortable and open to the rest of the work. But if I just presented the work, if I just presented, hey, I'm talking to the Elohim, I'm having miracles, this is happening, that's happening, it was too far out. Nobody could relate to it. And I don't say nobody, but not that many people. And so we were putting this out, and we were advertising on Google AdWords, and we weren't charging for very much. And then we didn't have any money to keep advertising. But then I started inviting the people on this list to message to our conference calls. And that was the beginning of really anchoring the energy on this call in 2008. And up to that point, I was hitting my head against the wall, as I said. I didn't know what to do and how to put this out. I mean, initially I said, God, everyone's going to be interested in this. This is really important. If these guys are who they say they are, this is like an epic event. But you can't walk in and talk to somebody and say, well, maybe I could now. But it's too big to just start out with. It all has to start out on a human level. The energies from the higher realms have to start out and anchor on a human level. Anchor from me to you, from myself to Terry. And because it all starts on a human level. We are humans. We are in bodies. And you can think about God, you can think about the higher realms, and you can think that I don't want to be here, I want to be there, and I don't think that works. I don't think that's the way to get there. I think the way to get there is to learn how to anchor these principles in your humanness. And Jesus said, he said, when somebody asked him at one point, this is a rough translation of my memory, but how do we love God? How do we feel God's love? And his answer was, love each other. That's because that's how you get there. And you know, we are learning that. We are learning, I'm learning, and I think many of you are learning, how to love each other. And I would say that at one point in my life, I wouldn't have even understood what loving each other meant. I would have thought loving each other was gushy. I would have thought that it was emotional. I thought it meant being nice and friendly. And of course, it can include being nice and friendly. But it's something else. Because it's a radiance. It's a radiance that people can feel. And how do you tap into that radiance? How do you do it? Well, you know what? It's 6:20, and I was thinking I couldn't do an announcement today because of Get Response. And I was going to have Terry Friedman on. I'm going to try to have some more shows with Terry Friedman because, you know, almost no one knows that he exists in this life of Matthew. You know, he wrote the book about it, and it's he had a very hard time talking to anyone about it, just as I did. You know, it's too far out. And he had a reputation. He was an MD, an alternative MD, and semi-famous at that. And he would start talking about it, and people would think he was a nutcase. It was sounded too outrageous. It sounded egotistical to even make that identification. And so I'm so pleased we've had him on our show a couple of times. And I don't know how long he's going to be in this world. His life is difficult. And, you know, he suffers in his body, and sometimes he expresses, like, I'm ready to go. So before he goes, I want to get some more calls in with him because I think many people would find it important. And, of course, Jesus is an icon, and we've all wondered, who really was Jesus, and what did he do, and how does it feel to be around him? And Terry tells such good stories, and it feels so authentic. And I think Carla tapped into the authenticity of it. You see, at first, people, if they just heard it, they just dismiss it. And they think it was impossible. Or they think if somebody was saying it, that there must be something wrong with them in some way or another, or they're being self-aggrandizing. And that happened with David Wilcock. When he was trying to tell people he was Edgar Cayce, he got huge, huge, huge flack. And people just thought, why is he saying, identifying with somebody that's that famous, and that he must be on an ego trip? And of course, the human side of anybody is never as good as their reputation. You know, as I was studying David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce, Harmon Breaux, he wrote a book called Fear of Season, and he lived in the Cayce household. And he wrote about how difficult Cayce actually was as a human, how angry he could become, how he felt that who he was being displaced by this voice coming through him. And he would get angry because people were loving him because he was a channel, but he didn't think they were loving him because he was him, because he was Edgar Cayce. And, you know, that's why on these calls we cover such a vast breadth spectrum of things, because the human sides of myself and Terry get to be expressed, as well as the celestial side of the Elohim. And that by expressing that, not only is there a sense of fulfillment on our part, but it's an example of how to connect with the higher realms and not just become a functionary of that connection, which is what happened with Edgar Casey. You know, he felt like he was a functionary of his connection to the higher realms, and that nobody liked him. They just wanted to use him because they wanted that connection themselves, or they wanted to get information. So you see, being in the human body and doing this, you know, some people look at me and they say, wow, you're so lucky to be talking to them. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think I would ever say I was lucky. I would say that this is more responsibility than I could ever dream of having. And that I don't really like responsibility. And how do I live up to the responsibility? And every day I am fitting in how many hours are in the day. And there's so much to do. And how do I work smarter? And how do I get things done? And how do I reach more people? And how do I free myself up from the mundane things so I'm available in a public way to reach more people? How do I get this movie project made? You know, all of those things are circulating every day. And if I don't do it well, I burn out. And then I have to sleep for a couple of days and come back and recover. So that's what it feels like. And also know that by doing this, if I really do get really, really famous doing it, it has its risks involved. I mean, we know what happens to people that get famous doing this. So if somebody says that I'm lucky, and aren't you lucky doing this? You know, it certainly does not solve all one's problems because they're talking to the Elohim or talking to the Ra group. But it does give you a great, great opportunity for personal evolution. And I would probably think that many of you are learning that when you came into this group, you saw things like it seems exalted. But as you start being in it, in the center of it, you realize that it puts you more into facing yourself and your own issues than anything else you'll ever come to. It doesn't patronize you. It doesn't say, oh, you're so wonderful. It doesn't say, oh, you beautiful children of love and light, we're going to save the world. And you may be that, and we may do that. But the work usually causes a confrontation with the parts of you that are keeping you compressed, ineffective, depressed, all those other things. And it puts you in a confrontation to learn how to move through them and you to be worthy of this gift, of this connection with the higher realms. Because it is a gift. Even though it's not always easy, it's a gift, it's a very unusual gift to have found this and to acknowledge it, because it will speed up your evolution if you let it. And it may be, you may be kicking and screaming while it's doing it. You may be resisting. Well, that's happening. And some people will just away. They're just going to go away because they don't want that. They want it to be all something else. But it is what it is. And you are what you are. And I am what I am. And Terry is what she is. And we come together and we learn about the power of group interaction and the power of connecting with the higher realms. And we are in a dimensional shift right now. And we have many things happening on our planet that are coming to the surface, that more and more people are becoming aware of, but certainly not fast enough. And we have been given so much data and information, and there's a responsibility in getting that. I mean, there is no time to rest on your laurels. There is no time. The question is, etc., what's next? What am I doing next? What are you doing next? And you know what? I should give Terry a chance to, if she has some comments to say. Are you there, Terry? You're muted.
Yes.
We hear you.
Okay. The advantages for making the connection with the Elohim are opening up a whole new vista of possibilities, of letting all of the difficulties that one gets into and the problems and everything like that, kind of letting it go for a minute and just connecting with those guys. And so it's an introduction that could go somewhere. Thank you.
Where's it going to go?
It can open up whole new possibilities to increase your frequency range that you are able to sense, to step out of the problem box for a minute and step into some relief for a minute, and to get a whole new group of friends in the other realm.
You know, I think one thing is that it really, really grounds the idea that you are immortal, eternal, that you continue, that life does not end when your physical body ends. And I think when you totally embrace that, it gives you more tools to learn how to live here and be more effective here than think that this is all there is in everything. Anyway, I'm going to try unmuting everybody. I wanted to make this like a little bit of a group discussion and see if anybody has anything that they'd like to share about this topic, about how they have been confronted. You know, this has caused a confrontation in themselves, which has propelled them forward, or anything. Hang on a second. I'm going to unmute you. Now, if it's too noisy, we'll have to mute you, and you'll have to do star six. Hang on a second. Okay. We are all unmuted. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
So try to be quiet. If you have noise in the background, everyone's going to hear it. If you're cursing me out in the background, everyone's going to hear it. If you're fighting with your husband, everyone's going to hear it. And, or your wife. But, good. Really quiet. Thank you. And does anybody want to share anything about what I'm talking about? Or anything?
I'll share.
Well, then, okay. You go.
Okay, well, this is Chris in Scappoose, Oregon. I'm 61, and since I was 19, I have felt a connection to something. And they have pushed me and shoved me, and I can almost feel them physically pushing on my back. And it has led us to adopt. We've adopted 21 children from overseas, and we have 4 birth kids. And right now, I still have a 7-year-old at home. I have 9 kids at home right now, and they're from different countries, and We picked kids.
Chris, how big a house do you have?
Well, we're building a house. Our family, our kids are building this house. We've been building it for 3.5 years. So we're supposed to move in this summer. Yeah. Yeah, we have some remarkable kids.
Chris, you better watch out announcing that on our line, because you're going to have about 50 more children that want to move in with you.
It's interesting that I found you. I heard you on Coast to Coast, and I have been, in the last year, I've been saying, who is this that's talking to me? And I was digging deeper, trying to find out, and I found you, and I know this is right. I know this is right. And I'm just so thankful.
So you are an Elohim soul in this realm, yes?
I guess so. I mean, we always tried to pick the kids that were older, and we wound up with babies sometimes without asking for them because we'd already had our birth babies, but we tried to take the older kids. We tried to take the kids who needed heart surgery and cleft palate surgery and missing limbs and...
What a sweetheart you are.
Well, if I took all of you into an orphanage, you'd feel the same way, because there's just millions of kids who don't get homes. And we just, I know they led us to this. And sometimes I can hear them. Sometimes they physically talk. I think it's them, I'm guessing. But they talk to me pretty darn loudly sometimes, and I wish I could talk to him more, but it's been amazing. It's been really hard, but it's been amazing.
What religion were you brought up as?
I wasn't brought up as any religion, and I'm really thankful for that. My parents thought, they both went to church, but they both said they just thought there were too many hypocrites in church. So I'm thankful that I wasn't brought up in a church, but my husband and I went to church, and Emma, go put the phone back on the hook quickly. But every time I was in church, I felt after a couple of months like I was in a box and I needed to get out. And no matter, you know, Methodist, Lutheran, I just couldn't breathe after a while. It was too restrictive. And go ahead.
Hey, brother.
I'm so glad we found you.
Well, I thought about writing you a letter, but then I had this opportunity to talk to you, so I decided to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, well, thank you. You're an example. And you know what? Not everybody can do what you did. You have to have a lot of your own garbage out of the way, I think. Is that true?
Probably. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I really question our sanity sometimes, and so did other people that knew us, but we just had to do what we felt, you know, we were supposed to do, and I believe this is what we came here to do, and to set an example for others. But, it's been quite a journey, but again, it's been sometimes extremely difficult. But let me tell you one other thing real quick. Somebody found us. We didn't seek them. It was a foundation. And they gave us about $450,000 to build a house. And again, I mean, we didn't seek these people out. It was a foundation that helped people who adopted kids, and they helped to pay for adoption. And they built a house for us. That was in Missouri. We've moved to Oregon since. But with that money, we were able to move here to Oregon, and now we're building this house. But, I mean, amazing things. They gave us a big 15-passenger van and paid off some of our bills. Just so we have always been provided for, always. And we never really had the money to adopt all these kids. It just happened over and over again.
Wow. That's a great story. Let me give somebody else a chance to share. Who else? Quick.
Well, I'll step up to the plate if everybody else is afraid.
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, guys. No. Get ready.
Coward. Come on. Give me a break.
Listen, no bitch slapping, okay?
Well, if it's mandatory, it will happen. But that's not really the subject.
I would say that what you just heard is really typical of how it works. I just want to add one thing real quick, that what you fail to do all the time, Wynn, and that's defend yourself well, that is to explain to these people that they got to get themselves out of the way. It's the original intent. It all happened in one nanosecond months ago, and then let the universe supply the rest. That's all I have to say. It's that simple. I don't care who you are. You need some cash? What for? That's the secret. What for? And if the intent is good, it'll happen. I don't care if it's 16 orphans or 6,000. My gosh. There's things going on in Uganda that none of you are aware of, except for maybe Carolyn. And, you know, where's the money come from? Well, I can personally tell you, it's from an intent 2 years ago. And I got several intents from 16 years ago. And I got a bunch of them. So if you have an intent, but you don't follow up on it, well, don't expect a check for $450,000 to build you a house. And by the way, my dear, could you have that crew move next door? I want to build another one. That's all I had to say. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dwayne. You know what? I think what Dwayne said was that yourself out of the way and learning how to work with yourself. You know, yourself never disappears. Maybe I shouldn't say get out of the way, but work around. It's a word called work around. I have to work around. I'm far from perfect. Terry has to work around. We have to work around our natures. So it's like the challenge is don't be passive. Work around your nature. Get through it. Okay? Anyone else want to share something?
I have an addendum real quick. Everybody, please understand, we all have duality. I don't care who you are. Okay, over and out.
Thank you, Glenn.
I'm
okay,
the king
next.
Of duality.
Is that Chris Blair there?
Yeah, I'm sorry I got on late. I thought I was muted, and then I heard you sharing. But that has been my focus in trying to find balance. But...
Chris, think of it. I want to make a suggestion. Instead of trying to find balance, as soon as you say trying to find balance, you're already failing because you're trying, okay? You can't try. Trying is not a successful word. Try is a failure word. You know, what Dwayne said... I hate to quote Dwayne, but when he's got it, he's got it. What Dwayne said was, the whole thing is work around yourself and do something. Because, you know, when you just, you're right on the edge of, most people are right on the edge. All it takes is the slightest intention and they jump through. And they start to get how it works. Yep. And then they back off and they don't do that last thing that makes it work. The last thing. And then they'll be saying things like, woe is me, or this or that. It's action. Energy follows, another very important thing, energy follows action.
Right.
And you know, action. You don't get the energy first and take the action. You take the action, and the energy comes in because you took the action. And what's the action you're supposed to take? That's your life and your challenge. But all of us have an action that we don't think we can do, or that we think we won't work, and we don't get the energy in. But, Chris, thank you for sharing. Are you feeling better today?
I'm actually physically feeling a lot better. And, yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else want to say something?
I will.
That is...
Carolyn.
Who is that? Okay, Carolyn.
in Okotoks. Go ahead. Canada.
Well, all my life, ever since I was a kid, I was different. I thought of different things differently than other people. I was really sensitive. I went through a period of, you know, just being way too emotional for other people, although it wasn't enough emotion for me. And so then I kind of numbed it out. But I've always been a big reader, and I, you know, I'd always, every time I was ready to learn something, something would show up to teach me, you know. And so then I started learning about intent, but there weren't many people that were like me along my path. But now there's all you guys, and you're thinking just like me. I'm like, perfect. Now what? You know, and I feel grateful for being given the opportunity to participate in helping the earth and the people on the earth and all that. Like, I always felt so helpless, the world's so crazy around me, couldn't do anything. Now I'm doing something every week, you know, and I can feel it and I can see it around me. It's beautiful.
You know what? We're an astral insane asylum. Except
that's the damn truth.
We're a sane asylum, and the planet is the insane asylum. But they don't know it because the illusion is so good. So I'm so glad we found
when,
it. You know that?
When Carola was going to college, her and me, we were both at college, and there was a bunch of other people.
Who was that? Who was that
Wanda.
Talking?
This is Wanda. And me and Carola, that was talking last, we went to college together. And we used to, at first, we all sat there in the cafeteria, and nobody would have anything to do with us. So then one day I stood up, and I got the gumption, and I stood up, and I went to Carola and a few others, and I told them all to go around to all the people that are sitting alone and tell them all to come join us at this table. And to this day, a bunch of us are still friends.
Wow. That's right, too.
That's and that's where we started our friendship.
What a great story.
Did you teach him hockey? That's why you're together.
Did we what?
All right.
Teach him hockey. I apologize, people.
I used to be a hockey mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I still have to
You know what? I keep telling people, you know, introduce yourself to your neighbors, find ways to create community, and people don't necessarily have to people don't have to understand all this, but everyone understands when you have this loving intent, they feel it, and when you have to put enough energy out. See, here's the trick. The part of you thinks you need to be loved. Part of you is looking for love, and the way you get loved is to make someone else feel loved. When you make someone genuinely feel loved, the love comes back to you, and suddenly you start feeling love in yourself. And the way you make someone feel loved, listen carefully, this is simple. You have to look at their genuine need and give it to them. Fulfill their need. As Chris was talking, she fulfilled the need of a lot of children and young people that no one else would fulfill. And I would bet that she has a wonderful sense of self-love. That's just really simple. You know, it's not about being nice and wearing your heart on your sleeve. It's like filling a need that someone has, a genuine need that, but the key is learning how to fill a need without letting someone get codependent. okay? And Wanda was talking about how they were sitting at a table and they invited all these people to join their table. And
that's
suddenly,
everybody else rejected us, and so we were like the rejects of the whole college, and we all got together.
Right.
For some reason, nobody wanted to have anything to do with any of us.
So you filled the need for the people that were sitting around that were lonely. They came in, and boom, everything shifted with one little invitation. That's how cool this is. You know, you take you don't need. If you do the right thing at the right time, everything shifts. And each of us has those.
I'm known for doing that. If I see somebody, like for instance, at funerals, the guy standing there, you know, in the corner waiting for everything to be over, I'll go and I'll get them. I'll the service people, not all, say, here, take a plate of food. Go and eat right now. Whatever. I'll enjoy everybody either with the food or something all the time.
Wonderful.
Otherwise, everybody's an elephant in a room.
Right. Is that Lori?
Yes. Hi, Wayne. I'm Lori in Santa
Fe. Hi, Lori.
I was on BBS and I came in. I just wanted to say, in relationship to what other people have said, one of the most challenging things about being on this journey, this pathway, is being different. And even now, as an adult, it can be challenging when your spiritual beliefs are very different than the norm, what would be considered the norm. But I found that having faith and trust when you change your life, as you know, when my whole life changed over the last couple of years entirely. I mean, I left my family, got a divorce, sold my house, got rid of all my stuff, moved to a new state, not knowing anyone. And so many, 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 many changes.
Was that all our fault?
Actually, I started with you. And it's amazing, by the way, how you guys have evolved so much. And I'm so grateful for that because, your website and your stuff has changed. I was with you when you were Message a Day. I mean, and it was like 2009 or 2008, something like that. So it's been a long time. And I love that everything has evolved so nicely, and you guys are advancing amazingly quickly, and I know it's going to continue, which is great.
Well, you know what
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, this whole thing about being different and feeling that's hard, you know, the only thing is that for you to develop the courage to be able to be willing to manifest your differences, your differentness, because not caring what people think, because that's what I had to do. I had to manifest my difference, you know. Kelly has to manifest her difference, and we've all felt like we didn't belong anywhere.
Yeah.
And Terry, you know, Terry still goes through that, even as great as she is and how much she contributes. And it's like getting the courage to do it just a little bit, because you need to find a vehicle to give to others, you know? And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It can be really small. It could be big. You know, you can start out small. You never know where it's going to go. It just has to be authentic. And then it's like Wanda was saying about how they felt different, and then they invited everyone to their table, and everyone felt part of it. And, you know, you don't, what I've learned is that I don't need people to know anything about me or to know my beliefs or to know my experiences to connect with them, okay? The key to the connection is to filling a need in others. And when you do that from an authentic place, people then reach back and they're more interested in everything else about you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very important principle that I've learned. And however anyone can apply that. Go ahead.
I have some new friends that they're very interesting. I volunteer at a Tibetan temple for pranic healing, and it's a small group. But what's interesting about the group, I fit in. They're psychic, and some see energy, and some, I mean they everyone has their gifts that they express, and they accept those gifts. And so I feel very comfortable because I feel energy, and I mean so we all do something that's considered odd and in a lot of circles. And so it's nice to be in that, have that little circle.
Okay. Well, thank you. You know what?
We've probably reached
the end of our time on the call. If somebody has something really short to say, they can say it. Anyone?
Just that these calls are like food. I'd rather have these calls sometimes than I would eat.
Yeah.
Me too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next time,
well, you know what?
I think Nana and Julia would really have a lot to say on this issue. You know, they got some super experiences with this. That's all I'm out with.
No kidding.
Right. Well, you know what, Dwayne? I want to congratulate you.
I had twins to take care of, but nothing like a whole pile of people at once.